Okay, so I'll bring the meeting to order here, and today's the April 27th, 2011, City of Newport Technical Advisory Task Force, and the agenda that we want to do is really just. I guess if you can all state who's present for the record. This is Frank DeFelipis.
Jim Fuller.
Tom Russellback, liaison.
Jim Boatford, city manager.
Ann Siglio.
And Charlie Plybon's here.
Charlie Plybon's here.
Will be shortly.
Yeah, he's still finished wrapping up a conference call. Okay, so just to launch in, the agenda was pretty simple. I had a couple of attachments. One was the chemical list that was sent out from Georgia Pacific. And then I just wanted to go over some of the program framework questions and or outline that I put together. And I just want to take a minute if did everybody get an opportunity to look at the chemical list and see if there was something that jumped out or something that was omitted?
I suppose at some level, how in the world could we tell? You know, let's just say there's a long list, and one would have to know if there was a chance something was there or not there. See lots of not.
It is rather long. There's elements here that I didn't really see in their report or their that they tested on. When they gave the survey review last meeting. But maybe you caught that. I was a little tardy for that meeting.
I think at some level the main thing they were looking at were the metals.
Yeah. The metals.
I haven't had a chance to put this against the report to see what's covered in the report compared to what's in this list. Need to have a copy of the report at home for a while.
Yeah, and
well, if you need to sleep, yeah. If you have sleep.
Yeah, it's not the most exciting
get to sleep.
Read. We just opened up, Charlie, with, you know, if everybody had a chance to look at the chemical list that was provided by Georgia Pacific and, you know, just to see if something jumped out or something was omitted from their survey report. I'm just requesting from subject matter experts to see if there's something that we should pay attention to that we haven't.
My opinion on this, if we're talking about the chemical list here themselves, this is what it looks like every time they submit, pretty much.
Okay.
It's the standard. They know what's in their effluent, and they test for all that. And with the exception of really two or three heavy metals, everything that they have is within. Everything that's in here is within the allowable limits for acute toxicity. So what that means is, if you were to have contact with that water, that effluent, before it mixed, before you applied the dilution ratio to it, that most of these things wouldn't be an issue. There are a few. They breezed over those really quickly in the presentation. They don't like to highlight the things that they are acute and toxic with. But those are lead, copper, and there's one other one which is essentially why they have a mixing zone. lead, copper, and one other one.
Cadmium, or?
It might be cadmium.
I'm just, you know, looking at what they have detected versus, you know, the graphs that were, you know, I'm just trying to recall from 2 weeks ago.
Well, I don't really remember a lot of these, but yeah, okay.
I think a lot of them are at the non-detectable level, so for that reason, they know it's in their effluent, but it's at a level that, so a lot of these, you know, tetrachlorides and bromethanes and things like that, those are, they wouldn't have done that in a tier one study, just because they're non-detect in the effluent.
And sure.
So they're going to look at priority pollutants that are known within the effluent, and that was sort of the outline of the tier one.
Well, I guess, you know, one of the things that, you know, we need to determine is that survey itself, this list, and then the gaps between what we would want to know is in the water from a safety sake, kind of the questions that we kind of gave to them were essentially, would you eat the food that comes out of their waters nearby, and you know, is the testing, you know, as complete as possible?
Well, I think that's what their work showed, was that what does come out at levels that could be toxic is taken care of within the zone that's allowed for dilution.
Right, but the other thing I think that Charlie's been concerned about, and we all should be as well, I guess, is the, are there any organisms that would concentrate this or uptake it and concentrate it? And they collected organisms and identified them, but they did no chemical analyses on the organisms.
Yeah, I think...
And so that's kind of what I would like to see done.
But the testing showed that there's not much difference, if any difference, between the outfall area and the reference areas.
Right.
So if you tested for collection of or bioaccumulation in the outfall area, you'd need to do it in the reference areas also.
Absolutely. Anything.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Any kind of test is completely invalid unless you have reference points.
Right.
So if we were going to do any kind of bioaccumulation study, we would use reference areas.
So,
as well,
so
right.
Why that's important, I'll get back to you in a second, is the first meeting that this group came together, there was a concern that when the city has visible emissions out there in the water, that the seafood industry, you know, what is the response? I believe the city manager made it the request that, is the food safe to eat? And we didn't want to cause some sort of panic or anything like that. We needed an answer for that question, should it crop up. And so the testing and additional testing, you know, we need to define, you know, what that is or if everything's good. But the answer to the question for the region and the seafood and everything that comes out of here, so there is a solid answer of yes or no. I think that's important, and that's where the bioaccumulation would occur.
I think, and I didn't bring it with me, but a while back, you know, after my first review of this study, which pretty much stands the same as it did when I first reviewed it. I mean, I don't feel like I understand it that much better than with after these guys presented, but I felt like, you know, there are a number of questions that were addressed that we were charged with as a task force to answer, because you remember those were all very well laid out, but, you know, and I felt like a number of those were answered pretty well, and I think there was one or two that I felt like we could focus on as a group, and that weren't answered. And one of those was the bioaccumulation. And those are pretty easy studies to do. There's a lot of different models out there. They use that in Puget Sound. They do them in California, and we even have them for shellfish beds around here. So it's not a hard thing to do. But I'd have to look back at my notes, or I'd have to look back at one of the meeting minutes. I think, you know, my questions that were submitted were not answered in their presentation because they didn't do those things. So
they didn't do them because there wasn't didn't meet the criteria for following through on that part of the work. But
so Annie, you had a question. I cut you off.
No. He's fine. Charlie may have stated it better. That's fine.
Okay.
So, in other words, it's the bioaccumulation studies that we're kind of interested in seeing. Yeah.
So is there any expectation that they're going to do bioaccumulation studies in the fall survey?
No. They'll do the exact same study.
Okay. Well, why don't... What about asking them to do that?
They've already collected the samples.
Yeah, it's done.
Oh.
They're just a matter of
it's analyses, you know. You go out there and collect the samples in 2 or 3 days, and then it's...
And it's not required by DEQ, so they wouldn't spend the money doing that.
So DEQ charged them with the potential reasonable analysis for whether or not bioaccumulation would exist. So the way that works is, what that means is, in layman's terms is, go out there and do a study on the sediments and the water quality. And if those things look okay, you know, if they're not at a certain threshold, then we're not concerned about bioaccumulation, and you don't need to go back and study for bioaccumulation. So that's like the tier one, and then tier one, depending on the types of results, can trigger a tier two study.
So bioaccumulation is a tier two study.
And that was kind of one of the things I was trying to get them to explain at the end of the meeting. We were running pretty late on time. It's just, you know, considering that they did a tier one study and they repeated that tier one study, you know, what would, from, you know, the contractor's standpoint, what would be the, you know, types of tier two studies that they would have followed up with otherwise?
So, with that said, you know, we're taking a look at the survey and seeing if it covered, you know, most of the concerns, and that would be a deficiency. Is this the bioaccumulation? Were there any others that you could, and then we can create this focus on the deficiencies and then see if they're a valid approach to pursue those or not. You said there might be another one or two, or
I had to go back and look at, because I was just trying to do that gap analysis a while back and say, okay, what did they address in their study and what wasn't addressed in the study? And bioaccumulation was the only one that really I remember right offhand, and I forgot to bring my computer with me, and I have all the notes in there.
So if we were to do the bioaccumulation studies, what would we be looking for?
I think we would probably, I mean, my opinion, but I think this is a group discussion, I think this is that you would use, you know, bioaccumulation limits, just the common priority pollutants that they would scan for. You're going to get them all anyhow, you know, if they want to scan for them, but the ones that are acute toxicity before mixing are probably the ones that would be the most, you know, serve the most danger.
I haven't been too close to this in the work I've done before, but close enough to see that it gets expensive really fast looking for a bunch of things. So it seems like we would have to be very specific about what it is we think we want to be looking for, and only look for those things. And I think the money is going to dictate that we can't get very deep into it.
Yeah, there is a budget. But I think if you put it back into the context, this is a town that relies on tourism and the food industry, and to look at, you know, the plumes, visible emissions in the water, we need an answer. And so where do you stop from a city livelihood perspective to say, yeah, that brown plume, it's okay because the mixing is doing its job, or it's falling short, and we can report, we actually have a response.
Well, but the
I think plume. What I've been seeing lately for plume has been diatoms. In other words, they're the natural algae that bloom every spring.
Yes.
We've had a big bloom at the moment.
There's a high diatom bloom right now. But
yeah.
But then that is one answer when we know those conditions exist. I'm just saying that, okay, so is it inside, is it, you know, the guilt by association because some folks know the plume's there and then we have that response? I'm just trying to make sure that when the questions come up, we have an answer prepared.
Usually, when that plume is as big as it is at the moment, NOAA will put something out, or there'll be a comment in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Maybe Wednesdays or Fridays we'll have.
Are you talking about the diatom bloom?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's
the diatom bloom.
Yeah. Right. Let's just keep it focused on that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not us, but it's something you can see, and people are concerned about sometimes.
So, you know, going back to, you know, from the framework here, I'm just looking at the inputs, and we're seeing if the data quality is good. I put for the GP survey, additional data require maybe a bioaccumulation. But that wouldn't really be a GP survey question, but that's another data input that we'd probably want to pursue. And then I also, you know, did we have the opportunity to, as a group, look at the DEQ permit, any historical data, and best practices? I just want to, as a list, you know, have a binary question, do we pursue it, or is it already taken care of, so we don't have to talk about it anymore?
I'll give you my best, my opinion is that we shouldn't talk about the DEQ permit. I don't think that at this point historical data is relevant.
Right.
I think we need to focus on what we're going to do moving forward.
I think the historical data enters into it. This outfall has been in operation for 50 years.
Yes, but we
And for a lot of those years, it didn't have the treatment that it has now. And there's never been a problem. I'm not aware of any problem.
Jim, nobody's ever done any bioaccumulation studies.
So
what I'm saying, all I'm proposing here is that...
The DEQ work shows that it's not necessary.
Well, I think people think otherwise.
Yeah.
That's why we're in here today.
Yeah, that's the point that bothers me, is the people that are concerned about it are not going to be helped by any additional studies.
I understand that you don't want any studies done here. It seems like everything we put out, if you have something that you think is reasonable that we can get done, but I've tried to squash this down into a really narrow focus of just bioaccumulation, and even that I feel like is met with challenges of, well, we're not going to have enough money, and this, that, and the other. And I haven't even... Nobody's even looked at that. Nobody even knows.
Okay, so we rule out DEQ permit. Historical data, it's fair to say that we're going with a point forward. Historical data, you know...
There's a hole in the floor.
If there were no studies in the back past, there's no real baseline.
Well, there's not been the bioaccumulation studies, but every time it's permitted, the same kind of studies are done that are similar studies to what was explained to us.
Okay, well, I would just like to have this group, if there is adequate representation, just to establish the point in time to where we're working with. Is it from study point forward? All those in favor of that says aye, and if we go back at all, how far back, we'll have to determine that. So if we go back, say nay.
Well, before we vote, can you better explain, what is it that we want to gain out of historical data inputs? I guess that's my question, is like, what do we hope to gain out of, like, what is the process there? Like, and that was my concerns. I don't want to spend 3 months of us looking back at all this stuff over the past 50 years. That's going to not make you feel any different, you know what I mean? So I just want to know, before we vote on this, what is it that we want to do with historical data? Because I'm more than happy to go back there. I just don't want to waste time.
I would say, for me, and I'm not a subject matter expert on this, but from looking at a response perspective, were there any incidences that caused, you know, some other reaction that we would need to close or quarantine an area and see if that was something that is repeatable out of the facility and their affluent? And if that is, you know, could we somehow build a plan to respond to that or measure it? You know, it's kind of a gray area for me, because to me, it's, yeah, an incident happens, and is it a planned incident? Is it a seasonal, or, you know, something broke? But
that has happened, yeah.
And that does happen. We'll probably address that later in the risks, you know, and during the survey. You know, I asked, okay, so they had 7 days worth of retention, but what does that mean? Well, they only have, they let the sediment sit there for 7 days, but it's really a 24-hour turnaround. They can't shut down. Well, if the pipe broke and influence washing down the streets, what do we do? So is it measuring, you know?
I don't see how that would enter into what.
That's more in the risk response, I agree, but that's just an example of historical data. If it's valid, if we're just looking for chemical toxicity, or if we respond to, you know, the food source in the mixing zone or outside of the mixing zone, then we can maybe keep it to that scope.
Jim, you brought this up, so I'd like to hear what your kind of opinion is about what sort of information, what data inputs for historical data would you like for us to use or get out, what we'd like to get out of that.
Well, I think I said it, that I think with 50 years of experience, there's no indication there is a problem. So you feel that the bioaccumulation is still a possibility that we need to consider, and that's one that's not been tested for. I agree. I think the tests are going to show the same thing for every area that we look at. I think that's what the information that they
presented
tells us.
It doesn't matter what we think, you know. We're doing this for a bigger audience than ourselves and our own personal thoughts.
And I struggle with that too, that I've been through these things enough times that the people that are dissatisfied with outfalls are going to be dissatisfied no matter what the data says. This is additional data, it's not any answers. If we go out and do testing, all we're providing is a little additional data, which means, okay, gosh, there's more questions. We got to go do some more stuff now to satisfy additional questions. And there isn't any end to that kind of stuff.
Well, being that this is, the food industry, bioaccumulation would answer that, and also the recreational use of the water, long-term exposure. I'm not sure if those studies were there. And if that is the gap between what is found in the soil and the water in the mixing zone, the only other area to look at is bioaccumulation. Would you agree with that?
Well,
I mean, because everybody, yeah, who likes mixed, you know, affluent? They're there, so we just have to have a response to it. And it is, I guess, the final test.
Yeah, I don't understand the effort to look at the bioaccumulation, because if we look at the organisms that are living right there by the effluent, where it's discharged, I don't know how they even enter into the food chain, because the ones that are harvested commercially travel, and so they don't spend any time in the, or long periods of time in that area. So, I mean, are you sampling ones that are traveling in or leaving, or?
No, yeah. We're thinking more about like the shellfish, which don't move. Yeah. Or at least don't move very far. Or the polychaetes that don't move.
Yeah, let's, for the transitory, you know, let's just stick with the planning and the inputs, and the only gap in the inputs that we have today is bioaccumulation. And then we can also then move along in the process to identify, you know, if that is the approach to bioaccumulation is the final gap, then we need to then determine, you know, and your concern is cost. I think everybody's concern is cost. Where do we go from there to establish a bioaccumulation test?
Yeah, I'd say my concern is spending the money wisely, and I can see a lot of things we could do that I know would be benefiting what goes to the ocean. We'd be improving.
Well, why don't you give us a list of those? I mean, you made that statement before, but yeah, why don't you...
Well, we have the storm drainage off of any developed area is one, a major one.
I actually want to put a stop to that discussion, because that's not the charter of this group, but it's determine how the funding is allocated. If we get past defining this monitoring program, and it turns out that there's funding we didn't spend, I'm sure the city will take that back into their reserves. But we need to get through what we're here for and determine, is it enough money? Is it too much money? And once we're at that decision point, when we satisfy any gaps so that the tourism industry and the food industry has an answer to what is that brown stuff and do we need to worry, is it safe to eat? Then we can return those funds, and we have an answer, and we have a response.
And I think you hit on the thing that is the big public concern, is what they see.
That's exactly right.
And so what they see is what's floating on top of the water, and that's not what we're going to be testing for with a bioaccumulation study.
We might be. I mean, I've certainly done that. I collected for years out there.
Yeah.
So,
the effort that might help explain what's on top of the water would be public education about what it is. If money were spent to, which GP really ought to be spending, but to make the public aware of what is going on with the outfall.
But I think it would need, you know, some sort of, if GP is doing this education, it would be a perception that from the city that it would be, you know, you need to have the city representation to facilitate that education. And if that's where the funding goes, or they partnership with the Marine Science Center for that education, then and that's the solution, that's the response. But I just want to say that, you know, we have to stick true to the resolution, and then if there's nothing to be moved forward with it, then let's do that. So, you know, again, I'll go back to a vote of is biomass or bioaccumulation the avenue we want to pursue, and it's the only gap that we've seen at this point, or do we need to dig deeper on other data inputs? So for bioaccumulation, there's a gap. If you're in favor of that, say aye. And if you're not, if we need to look for more data inputs, say no.
Can we have a discussion here?
Sure.
On this? I mean, I think bioaccumulation is one of the things we need to look at. I would like to review kind of what I my initial gap analysis before I say that's the only thing.
That's fair, but
as far as that being one gap, yes, I would vote yes, that's one gap that I think that we need to.
Okay, so we'll log that one gap. We won't vote on is that all the data inputs that we need, right? Because it is rather, this is kind of sprung on you. If you need time to research it, how much time would be reasonable for us? I think we need Peter's input as well as a few of the other members that are not here before we actually take a vote on that. But how much time would be reasonable so we can keep this process moving forward and actually come to a conclusion?
Were you going to make list some of the other gaps you thought now, or you were going
to? I need to go back and look at that original sort of analysis I did on it. And I should have brought that with me. I just apologize.
So that would be an action item for you. But is there anybody? I'm not a subject. I wouldn't know what to look for. But are there any? You know, Annie, would you have any concerns or gaps that you could think of? How much time would you need to come up with other data points to look at?
I guess the bioaccumulation is my first thing. I spoke with the EPA people already, and they have not looked at anything this close in. In other words, they've done, and same with NOAA. In other words, they've gone much further offshore and looked at various and sundry things that would not, how do you say, there was no way that they could be in any way pinpointed with the mixing zone. And they wouldn't be appropriate to compare them to, if you will, because they were just so far away. So that's as much as background or whatever that I've gotten.
That would be useful information in comparing anything we would do.
Right, but they haven't done anything anywhere near it.
No, I mean just...
Well, I'll get that.
It accumulates...
Bioaccumulation.
We know that mercury accumulates in tuna.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Jim, or any of the other members on the task force, I'm sorry, I keep focusing here, but I got to pull you guys in too as well. Are there any concerns or any gaps that you've seen within? No.
No. The bioaccumulation is the only thing that I considered and wasn't evident in their report because they didn't do any testing like that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the one thing that people are most concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
If you can tell them definitively that we have no evidence of any bioaccumulation, that's going to make people breathe a lot easier.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, sorry.
I understand what Jim says. I mean, there are people that what you see is what you get, and no matter what, they're going to not like a brown outfall out there. Mm. And I don't blame them. Who would like that, you know? But the reality is it's there. I'm a guilty user of cardboard and, you know, support the industry in that fashion. But you do have, what Frank says, is the concern that this public has brought to the city. And the city can say, you know what, we actually did a bioaccumulation study. It's unheard of, you know, for a city to take this kind of action to address concerns. And we are not FDA and everything else, and we're not Department of Ag, but we did do our best to answer this question. We have no definitive evidence, or we do have evidence that says that, you know, this is safe or not safe. So, I think it's a smart move, you know.
Won't answer safe or not safe, but I can understand the desire to have the study and
it'll
present some data.
Because the newspaper will
report
and
say,
look at the one stuck in the water, and then it will stop coming to Newport. So anyway, moving on.
The people, if it shows that it's safe, then the people that are concerned will say, well, you didn't test in the right place.
And maybe that'll be a new thing to look at, but you're right. You mentioned about NARA and EPA. Were there any other, like the SEA grant or some sort of nearshore task force? Do they cover that particular zone within?
A lot of the work they did was done concurrently. Chris Goldfinger's lab just finished a bunch of mapping projects. I could have saved them $180,000 on that project. Sat down with them and told them, hey, if you collaborate with PSCO and COAS, they just mapped this area that you have planned, that you're planning on mapping. I mean, like, it was, they wanted to go that direction. So there is some data out there, but it's pretty much the same stuff that they have. It's all habitat survey. A lot of it's been done for wave energy. They're trying to get baseline for wave energy and marine reserves. So those are the two things that they've done the most studies on.
Because, again, I'm just trying to collect as much information so that when the city sees and they have this, did we do our homework, that it may have a nugget or two of information that we can use. But it goes back to bioaccumulation as well. So that's the only gap. And if we can see another data input, you're saying it's basically the same with bioaccumulation. So I'll leave alone on that one. Okay. So the next step then would be to we're going to come back, and the action item was to just make sure that was the only gap that we really saw. Maybe that's an action item for the committee, all the members, just to kind of review. And do we want to send that in via email or wait for the next meeting to discuss and break it down?
Could you rephrase that?
Well, we have
I'm happy to go over email. I said I'm happy to do it over email.
Because we want to, the question really is,
do we identify a gap other than the bioaccumulation?
Right. If there's something that comes to mind, I guess I want to come up to an understanding. Let's just circulate that amongst the group. And if there's anything else, we'll have it. We'll have more thoughts, maybe some online email discussion, because we have the public records component that we have to maintain. Everybody has to be in that discussion or in this meeting room, so there's no one-on-ones. There's all committee members, but that's our takeaway. Make sure that bioaccumulation is probably our number one target. Okay, and then so we're done on that one. The inputs.
I think the one thing we will want to do in some way, shape, or form is, for the other questions, is identify how we're answering those. Because to the general public, I don't want to go look at that big, thick book. Mm-hmm. Trust us. It's in there somewhere. It got answered. So at some point along the way, I don't think it's like priority right now, but before we finish this and there's some public piece to this, we're going to need to go back to any questions that we've eliminated and say, okay, what is our best digestible answer here for the public or message?
Okay, so that would be part of the outputs from the inputs. Okay. And so you want a public response to our findings.
A task force summary that's done in understandable terms. Explain succinctly.
Now, is that something that this task force needs to come up with, that verbiage, or
sure,
make recommendations, or does the city have any facilities to
No, help I think that's that? A task force job.
Okay.
to summarize your own findings, heck yeah.
And it's almost press release type responses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seventh grade reading level.
Don't make that.
That's what the general public reading level is.
Really?
I did exhibits for years, and if you write above a seventh grade the exhibit, people would smack you back to work on that content.
Yeah.
So I write all my press releases now. I try to write them at a seventh grade reading level.
Amazing. Well, you probably have to read at a seventh grade reading level in order to do that.
I do.
Well, I work in
act like a seventh
grade information technology field, and it's like no acronyms. Okay, so I'm going to say IBM, International Business Machines, every time. Come on, people.
Well, IBM is understandable.
Okay, so an output is one of them is responses or press releases.
Task force summary in understandable form.
Yeah, I think it may be a task force summary. We start from there, and then I think that maybe that goes to city council. And, well, we probably ought to have some public, whatever public, if we want to do press releases and stuff like that. I think that we can wrap it all into the task force summary.
Sure. Because I could almost see it as a, again, PowerPoint type of coming to the seventh grade level. I hate, you know, this is public record, so let's not, just have to get those responses in there. So, all right. And then another output of the input is we need to discover or define is how bioaccumulation study, what does that involve? Is that a vendor-supported activity? Is that something that the marine science folks can partner with us to do? Is that a city activity?
That's so, a contractor.
It's a contractor.
Okay, so bioaccumulation. So is there a, is it a one-and-done, one-time deal, or is it ongoing?
You know what I'll do is I have some modules through colleagues that work in Seattle, Puget Sound, and also down in California for bioaccumulation studies, this very thing. I can get some of the different ones that are out there, and I can introduce them to the group. Likely I can get some costs for those as well.
Yeah, that's the...
So that we can kind of look and see, okay, you know, if we want to do full priority pollutant scan on this, or do we want to restrict this to, you know, just a few things, and get a better idea of what the costs are, you know, even if it's feasible or not.
Okay, so if we're going to get a rough order of magnitude costing, can somebody answer the city's requirements for collecting information from vendors? Do we have to have a, is your procedure to have a formal RF?
I'm sure that would be the right direction.
And then originally Penelope had offered to write that up for us. We'd need to define a scope of work that we want done. Okay. And we could even put, you know, what the types of methods that we want with that are. So that helps us narrow down kind of the cost, you know.
Yeah. And we still have to be attorney, even though she's not here.
So, yeah, so then an RFP developed from, you know, that's got to come from the attorney.
Okay.
And because, they're through their due process. They have to announce it.
Okay, could we as a group then draft an RFI, request for information, from the various vendors to see what is available? Or do you think that?
I don't think
more
they
military
can.
Mil spec stuff, but okay.
Well, is it, that's what he's just saying he can do. I mean, he said that he's got the modules and things, which presumably says what they can do and what it would cost.
They're not vendors, they're researchers who use contractors. Right. So the difference is, and I, because Penelope and I talked about this before, because a group had approached me and said, hey, we're really interested in this, we've been watching it in the paper. We do ROVs, and we'd love to come show you how our ROVs work. And I was like, well, I don't really know if we need your ROV, first of all. And I asked Penelope about it, and she was like, yeah, it's really weird if we ask for information from one person. And it opens us up to...
challenging.
So if we put an RFI out there, and like we get 50 people that are all...
yeah.
Then we're in trouble because we got to listen to them all.
Well, it could be a response that is tailored to... you know, specifics versus their entire catalog, which would narrow it down.
So yeah, that's true.
If,
yeah.
If you put an RFP out, yeah, you say, you know, we want this, this, and this. And from what I'm thinking, you know, there aren't that many people in the country who can do it. And if we're sick, well, as you say, Seattle's good and San Diego's good. And I think there's some in Santa Barbara. I'm not sure that anybody else really does that.
Okay.
I mean, this is not exactly a common thing.
Okay, so then going back to
the consultants.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think consultants would take it on. And
well, yeah, but that's
the,
it.
Yeah,
they would
right.
manage it. Okay, but that's, okay. Well, okay. And the company, I guess, that did the CH2M Hill, who did
the fellow
Georgia Pacific stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would be competent.
Right.
So we really need to then start at the beginning of the scope for bioaccumulation and defining what that is, locations to where they're going to possibly sample, if it's going to be an overlay of what the Georgia Pacific survey is. So we'll probably need, I don't know how much time you want to work on. I know you're not feeling well, and to launch into a scope discussion right now when we're still at discovery of gaps, I don't know if it would be fruitful because we may need to go backwards in defining that scope.
I think it would be really useful to use what's in place as far as the our previously identified reference areas.
Great.
You know, we have data there already, so if we do something somewhere else, it's kind of like, well, what does this really say? So we need to be consistent, and we have a really nice design module already laid out for, you know, researching or surveying this area. So my opinion is to try and overlay those same places.
Okay, so there's economies of...
which is another reason for contemplating, you know, as a contractor, the company who did the CH2M Hill one. In other words, they know where to go. They can GPS it in, just go, wing, we're here, and, you know, go to the sites and collect the organisms, et cetera.
So do we want to then start developing that vendor list? And probably those would be a weighted scale of why we would choose one versus another. I've just, in my experience with state and local government contracting, somebody will come back and say, how come you didn't pick us? And so you have to have a response to that.
Oh, yeah, well, we have to have a response. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In the federal government, which is where I worked for 30 years, you had to be able to say precisely why,
right.
And it turns out consistency of data is a valid, how do you say, thing that you can put down.
Money.
So vendor,
that's going to be the driving factor.
Well, money's the driving factor,
for
too.
For local government, that's, I mean, I'm guessing for most of your RFPs, you take the lowest bidder most of the time, right?
You know, professional services, actually, it's based on qualifications, and then you negotiate the price, and if you don't come to terms, then you go to
then
the
you
next,
go back.
Next person down the chain.
But it starts with qualifications.
Yeah. So that's what, I mean, if I'm hearing the discussions, rather than get into the nitpicky of how things were done, maybe you can have an RFP that says, this is what we want, this is kind of the end result, or what we want to see tested, given the kind of the scope. Here are some locations, if you know that. But you could ask them to develop a sampling plan that you as a task force would look at, and then that would be one of the criteria, is how well do you like their sampling plan. Not that they're stuck with it, but it does give you a good indication whether they know what they're doing or not. You know, things you might help them out, you know, what species do you want tested, at least a minimum, so that they don't go overboard and try to test everything. Mm-hmm. You know, just give them some basics of what you're trying to do, and then in the RFP process, allow them to develop a lot of the criteria that you will then review and select them on.
So that would be a design-build approach?
I think it's performance.
Performance. Okay, and I'll put that down on procurement for, just so we log it, and I'll try to get minutes out to this RFP.
You can state what the approximate budget is, too.
Yeah, that would help them narrow down to the point.
Now, the other thing is, what are we doing about more people, if you will? I think Roger's place was one that we needed to fill.
Mm-hmm. Well, I invited a couple of people last week, or 2 weeks ago. Jessica Miller.
Okay.
And she came, and I haven't heard from her, and I haven't bothered to call her. Who else? Oh, Ted.
DeWitt,
yeah. And he called me back, and he said that he couldn't do
Can't
it because
imagine
of potential
he would.
Conflict. Of interest?
I don't know that it would be.
Well, that's what it's
I've tried to get Ted to with.
Yeah, but he's pretty busy. He's pretty busy.
And he's just busy.
Well, I wouldn't have done it when I was working. I mean, I worked two doors down from him for umpteen years. And, you know, by the time I now, well, anyway, another person who was here was Dave Young at that meeting, who was in charge of Squirt for a number of years. He's the one who kept falling asleep. But he actually was one of the leading lights in Squirt, but he would be very good, and I'm surprised he's not here.
Marianne Bosa called and said she couldn't do it either.
And who else was here? Vicky Osis. She was sitting, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Vicky Osis was here too.
The person in that chair was Vicky Osis, and I'm surprised she didn't come, because I thought she was making noises like she was interested.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if there have been any applications made online or anything. So that would be something to check with Peggy about.
Anyway, before we get too far along, it would be, I guess I'd like to see the rest of the group, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So, for roles and responsibilities, is that something I should be
for what?
Chasing them down, or?
Oh, well, you know, if you run across anybody you think is a potential for the group, then I'd definitely talk to them and have them call the city or talk to Peggy Hawker and get an application and then start coming to meetings or you know, well, of course they have to be. You have to pick them, interview them, and pick them. Whatever.
Doesn't the mayor actually have to pick them?
Well, what we've been looking forward to is to go a different route with that and have the committees themselves make the initial pick, and then just give the recommendation to the city council.
Okay.
So we don't have any idea.
Penelope, didn't she say she was interested?
Yeah, she did, but I guess she's just overwhelmed probably right now. Hmm. Family illnesses and things like that.
Okay, that's it. Thanks for bringing that up, because that's definitely the vacancies and attendances, although it's one of our quieter meetings.
So has anyone heard from Joe? This is his second absence, I think. that I know about.
Oh, yeah. Maybe more than that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard.
He's been here for one meeting, or maybe two.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to find somebody to take his place also.
So there's how many vacancies? Two?
You had seven.
Seven?
You have four right now.
Well, yeah, and, but Pete is...
Pete's. Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's...
He's still... All right,
so there's just two.
So you need two more.
He's bouncing around out in the Pacific, I think.
So we have two vacancies, and so what you're suggesting is if we know somebody to recruit, send them to Peggy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or they can apply online.
Well, that's right, yeah.
You know what you could do to sucker some of those people in is Vicky Osis actually submitted an application after the task force was full, and Penelope turned her down, and or Cheryl or somebody sent back to her and said, we've got it covered. And at least a couple of people contacted me right after we had finished filling the thing. Like, how do I get involved in this?
Go
online and send an application, and now you've got record of that. You'd be like, you know what? You're on.
So would that be an avenue to look up those applications again? And
sure.
Alternates?
Yeah.
Peggy might have them.
Yeah.
Or somebody.
That would be probably the most appropriate, mm-hmm. that people expressed interest, although there were no vacancies.
Yeah, if there's... two, that'd be great.
Would
save beating the bushes.
Expand beyond seven, or seven the magical number we want to stick with?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like a number.
Yeah, I think. I mean, unless we have some people that are like just on it, and then, you know what I mean. The more people we start to get involved, more background that we have to play back
exactly.
into it. So. Anybody coming into it, you know, has a bit of catching up to do.
Sure. We're still pretty into it. I think the survey, here's a DVD, and this is the chemical list. That would be enough to, why would that be enough? I don't know. Depends on the candidate. Okay, so, yeah, let's see if that would be a takeaway for the city then to look at the past recruitments and who were turned down. And then the, you know, our takeaways are to review gaps, you know, from the chemical list, the survey, if something else jogs your memory. The other thing was a vendor list. You had a couple of recommendations of people that do bioaccumulation studies. So we can start developing.
I don't have a vendor list. I just have like a design, like, you know, some designs and some costs to execute those studies.
Okay, so...
But, I mean, I could likely find out who did those studies as well.
Useful.
Yeah, I mean, I could do that as well if you want. I can see if I can come back.
Okay, so then under rough order of magnitude cost, Charlie has reference material that would be helpful in defining... If we have it, but you know, RFP will probably shake out that, but at least we'd have a good idea.
Well, you have to sometimes send them to the people who you want to respond to.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't just sort of fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
Well, there's places to advertise too.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's one of the...
You can also send it to them. You know, really shake them.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and it's too early to start putting our arms around the scope of if we go to the RFP. And I think we talked about just about everything we could possibly cover tonight without our heads exploding, at least mine. But what the next meeting's agenda? What do you want to cover? Do you want to keep going down? Is this a good approach for you just with this framework list? Are there things you want to add, or things that you want to delete, or do you want a different approach?
Works for me.
Okay. Because, you know, we're all a team.
As long as I can see that we're moving forward, which it feels like we are.
Well, I didn't turn into a total geek and whip out a Microsoft project plan with, you know, 57,000 tasks or anything like that. But, you know, this is pretty busy here. Okay. The other one is from the city side. When we start going to developing the RFP, we would probably need some involvement from the city attorney or somebody to represent that or fill that void.
With the task force develops the scope of work, we'll do the rest.
Yeah. We'll do the rest.
We get the scope of work. And
yeah, that's the most important. Because the attorney doesn't really get involved with the scope of work.
Okay. So that would probably be the big agenda item for next week is to define that scope of work if we have enough data to start that. And if that means reviewing some of the data points that were in the GP survey as a reference, you know, because they have them pretty well defined with GPS coordinates. So we'll come back to that. Is there any more to talk about? No, we're good. It's been a long day. This is the third Monday of my week.
Oh no! Oh dear.
This is the highlight of the day. So I'm going to say round table. Anything else to add? Okay, great. Meeting adjourned.
Yes.
An hour.
Do we want to go on our every other week schedule again? Is that good with everybody? Because we're pretty close. We're making progress.
For me.
Okay, let's do it. Because the sooner we get it done, the better.
Is that May? May 11th?
Let's see. No, I think it's more like somewhere around next Wednesday is what, the 4th or something like that?
The next one's 11th.
Yeah, okay. The 11th. Oh.
I'm May 9th. I will let you guys know if I'm not available.
Is it a possibility if we do have the meeting, if there's a conference call, would you be available by teleconference?
Yeah, okay. I might have to be in Portland.
Okay.